Welcome to the Duluth Vineyard Podcast. This message is recorded from one of our weekend services. As a church, we are a community from all different walks of life who are learning to love God and love one another. We're a place where everyone is welcome, true believers, along with the curious, the skeptical, the wounded, and even the disillusioned. We're a place of new hope and second chances. We're a church where God can be found. You can find out more about the Vineyard Church in Duluth on our website at duluthvineyard.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? I'm trying to be like Michael because that's what he says every single week. Like, we already asked him that, honey, in the announcements. But that's all right. I got to be careful because, you know, there's podcasts now, so he can check on me. He can in England, he can check on me and see what stories I'm telling you and stuff. So I got to keep it clean because I had a couple little things last week that I could get in trouble for. But my husband, Michael, is traveling in the United Kingdom and teaching about church planting. He did a conference called A Cause to Live For, A Cause to Die For in another Vineyard church in London this weekend. And he preached. He's about 6 hours ahead of me, so he's probably has his feet up for the afternoon. He preached this morning in a big vineyard there in London, and then as well tonight. And then tomorrow he flies into Ireland, to Belfast, where we have some great friends. And he'll be with them this week and teach in their church in the Belfast City Vineyard on Sunday. So he's not quite home yet. I know you guys are missing him. Did you hear that, honey, on the podcast? Yeah. We miss you. I miss him terribly, and just terribly. It's going to be wonderful to have him back home. But anyway, we are preaching about spiritual gifts for a few weeks here, and last week we paused momentarily for a message on the Holy Spirit, because what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual gifts is getting something spiritual from the spirit realm, and we live here in the natural, and so we need to learn how to connect to the spirit realm to actually receive spiritual gifts. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. And as ministry leaders, we have a tremendous privilege of really seeing who God has made you to be. And in our conversations, we like to talk and kind of draw that out and say, what are your heartbeat? What are your passions? And what is God, you know, what do you have? You could talk late into the night. What would you talk about? Because those are the things that we'd love to empower you to do as a church, so that you can minister through your God-given gifts. And one of the most inviting things about the Duluth Vineyard, and that I love, is that everybody gets to play. And it's not just a few paid pastors that get to do the stuff of ministry or see God come and do spiritual things, but in fact, God's gifts are given to every one of you, and whether you like that or not. And we love to equip and train you so that together we can become a catalytic community that actually is followers of Jesus, embracing who he's created us to be, empowered in the things that he wants us to be empowered in, and expressing that through God-given gifts. And when we do that, the church becomes a really right reflection of who God is. And it's amazing to get to cooperate with that. And I love watching people come and, you know, kind of settle into worship and settle into relationship with God and find out who they are and get some healing from some of the junk that they've been through and what that's left in their life, and then begin to turn around and just sort of let the Lord flow through them and give that away to people. And I don't know about you, but when I look around on any given weekend, or for that matter throughout the week, because there's a lot of hubbub going on here on a nightly basis and a daily basis, but when I look around, I see a few hundred volunteers, and they're not like gritting their teeth and, you know, bucking up and, oh my gosh, I've got this big duty. I've got to go to church. I've got to do what I got to do. And, oh, they're so desperate over there for help because 900 people go there, you know, and, you know, they got to get the job done. And that's not what I hear. That's not what I see. What I see, and I think what you see, and I think one of the things that's attractive is that people aren't doing it out of duty, but they're really having fun letting God come, aren't they? And really, you know, move through them and flow through them. And knowing our purpose in life, it just sort of anchors us. It anchors us, and it gives us a reason to kind of get up every day and walk out the door and do what we do. And being confident of our purpose starts with learning how to receive things from the spirit realm. So we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to read out of 1 Corinthians 12, and if you want to turn there, you can. There's some Bibles under the chairs in front of you, as well as there's some message notes in your program. If you like to take notes, you can do that. You can fill in the blanks. But if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read right out of 12, starting with verse 7. And it says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another miraculous powers. To another prophecy, and to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines." Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to start to unpack the meaning of these gifts and talk about them individually. And today, again, we're going to just talk about how do we receive them. So let me pray right here before we jump in. Father, thanks so much just for the opportunity to get together today. We love coming together. We love worshiping you. We love your presence here with us. And I thank you for the freedom, God, to do this. The freedom that we have in this country just to worship you. And we don't take that for granted, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would meet us right where we're at and that you would do what you want to do. And we give you permission to come, Lord, and do that. And we ask that you release the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit and put power on this talk, so that it will accomplish your purposes in our life. In your name, amen. All right, I want to talk about how we can let God put spiritual gifts in us so that our life can have some meaning and some purpose. And you notice in this passage that it says that everyone, to each one of you, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the cool thing about spiritual gifts is they're not for a few people. They're not for a few paid pastors or a few elite people, or when you get spiritual enough, you earn them. But it says each one of us have been given these, and I believe we're created with these gifts. They're our DNA, our genetic code, they're our makeup, they're the way that God always meant for us to be, and there's a reason for us. And, you know, some people just haven't discovered their spiritual gifts. Like, they don't know what's in them and why it's there. And it's a process, and you actually have to intentionally decide that you're going to find out what God had in mind when he made you. And, you know, some of us are actually operating in some things that are probably spiritual gifts, and we might even be drawing a pretty good paycheck from that, you know, if we have a job that relates to our gifting, and we might be using it in that way. But God intended that we would use it for his purposes, to do what he had in mind on a day-to-day basis, and to build his kingdom and to edify his church, because it says our gifts are for the common good or the good of everyone. So not just you would benefit, but that everyone would benefit from your gifts. And we all need to receive the Holy Spirit and experience supernatural touches from God. We talked about the Holy Spirit and who he was last week and how you could start to learn to know him on a more personal level and have actually a friendship with him. And the idea here is that we would stop looking to get that deep hole in the soul that we hear so much about, or that need for satisfaction or fulfillment in our lives from other things that are external, that we would actually start to look to the spirit realm, because God created us to worship him and to function out of things from the supernatural realm. And so the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God, and he changes us from the inside. And sometimes our relationships with God feel distant or impersonal, because we're just not experiencing the Holy Spirit, who comes and changes us when we submit to his Spirit being poured out over our lives, you know, in their brokenness, or and as he heals us, even then we need to keep coming back to him and experiencing him. And our relationship with God just doesn't feel that personal unless we're experiencing something supernatural from the spirit realm. In Gordon Fee's book, God's Empowering Presence, he says this: "The Holy Spirit in Paul's writings was always thought of in terms of the personal presence of God. The Spirit is God's way of being present.
Whatever else the Holy Spirit was to the Apostle Paul, he was always an experienced reality. And, you know, the main objection to the Holy Spirit, or for that matter, experiencing anything spiritual, is a fear of experience, which is something like the way that I feel about roller coasters. Do you guys like roller coasters? How many people actually pay money to ride on a roller? You are kidding me. I don't get that. I mean, I just look at a roller coaster, and then I look at people on a roller coaster, and I think, that doesn't look fun. I don't want to be upside down. I could stand in line and watch, 100 people get off of a roller coaster, and they could be having the time of their life, and they could look like all giddy and be running and jumping in line again and say, "Come on, Brenda." And I'd be like, "Forget it. I'm not getting on the roller coaster. I'm just looking at that one person who's puking right now, and thinking, it doesn't look fun to me." And so I have an internal fear of roller coasters, and I have no intention of ever really going on one. I've been on a few kiddie roller coasters that go like this with my kids when they were toddlers. And then ever since then, I've never been on one. So the real deal, ain't gonna happen. I'm not doing it because I have a fear of experiencing it. And it doesn't matter how much you tell me it's fun. And that's very similar to how we feel about the presence of God or the Holy Spirit. Some of us are watching other people experience this presence of God. We even see some of the good benefits of it, but we just have no intention of going there ourselves. You talk about the presence of God and experience, and pretty soon you're off talking about emotions or feelings. And a lot of Christian church today is experience phobic. And, let me just take a risk here and say that, men, I know this is hard for you because you don't want to be emotional, right? And you don't want to be, unstable and all of the things that people will think if you actually experience or feel God at an emotional level. But biblical Christianity deals with an experience with God. And, it's not about God just being up there theologically and in my head, but that I actually experience God in a real, tangible way. And the people in the Bible didn't have to guess about God's presence. Because, think about Mount Sinai. And, here you have, people standing there, and thunder is coming out of heaven, and lightning is coming out of heaven, and the ground is rumbling and opening up and swallowing people, and fire is coming down from heaven. Do you think that people actually said, "Is God really up there? I don't know. I don't think so." It was a real deal. There was an impact in the natural realm, and the phenomenon happening in the natural realm. And Paul, for instance, would not think of having Christianity. It would be unimaginable to have Christianity where people didn't feel the presence of God. I mean, feel something, not just talk about the presence of God, but actually feel something. So a biblical understanding of Christianity is simple. You and I are supposed to experience something supernatural on a regular basis. Now, one of the things that has helped a lot of people when we start talking about supernatural things is that you sort of have to make a paradigm shift to start to think of God as a supernatural being. And a lot of people think of Satan and exorcisms and things like that have been dramatized on television stuff, and we've seen supernatural activity in the satanic realm. But a lot of us, because the church has marginalized the Spirit of God so much and the gifts today, we haven't seen a lot of supernatural things when it comes to God. So people come all the time to the church from different backgrounds and say to me, "I don't know if I can think of God as supernatural." And so you have to actually decide, first off, that God is supernatural. And let me teach you just a little thing called a supernatural exchange. When you came to Jesus, if you have surrendered your life to him, you came to him with your broken, messed up, sin-filled life, and you said, "I don't have anything to offer you. I've got lint in my pockets. I've got, money can't buy my salvation. I don't have anything. I'm wrecked. I'm full of sin. I'm broken. Here's my life, God. I acknowledge my need for you. Take it. It's yours." And you gave him your life. You laid it at his feet. And then something else happened. He came, and he put something supernatural in you. He put supernatural forgiveness in you so that many of you felt forgiven when you received the forgiveness of the Father from heaven, from his spirit to your spirit. He made a deposit. He also put supernatural eternal life in you so that you know that you're confident that you're walking with the Father and that you're going to live forever with him in eternity. And he also put supernatural love and acceptance in you. So some of you felt for the first time in your lives loved by a spiritual being because God's spirit came and touched your spirit in a real, tangible way. You made, and I made, a supernatural exchange with God at the point of salvation. And for some reason, a lot of us try to walk out our salvation, and we walk around here on earth under the negative effects of all kinds of toxic crap that we've been through. We get angry, we get afraid, we have anxiety, we have depression. There's a lot of junk because we lived in a sin-filled, fallen world, and we try to make it without getting more supernatural things from God. And it just isn't working for us. But what if God said, it's okay with me if you come back for more? In fact, what if he's waiting patiently for you to come to him and say, I am wrecked by this fear and depression. Take it from me, Lord. Would you put something supernatural in me again? Just like you did at salvation. And what if you could actually receive something from outside of this world supernaturally from your Father in heaven? And what if everything that you need lied right there? Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. That means right here. I think it's available to us. I think we're just not doing it. I think part of the problem is that the Holy Spirit is the experienced reality of God. And only the Holy Spirit can come and change the things that I feel that desperate about or you feel that desperate about and give us life and purpose and give our life purpose and meaning. Because it's God's Spirit, it's the power of God that's going to go to those places in your life that only the Holy Spirit can go, because nothing external can get that deep and undo what's been done to you. And to me, it can't get to the hurt and the anger, but the Spirit of God can. And it's the Spirit of God and his power that actually is kind of like dynamite. And the Greek word even speaks of an explosion that's going to happen through the power of the Spirit. That's going to unlock all these things that have you kind of bound up and in bondage to healing and pain and gets them moving in your life and cleans out your spirit. And some of us really have a hard time trusting Jesus, and we're afraid to let him do what he wants to do and come close enough to actually deposit. We're afraid to even come into his presence and be that honest and tell him exactly what's going on in our life. And we have to learn to trust him, that he has really good and perfect gifts for us. And he's waiting and wanting and willing to pour them into our life if we'll come to him and let him do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you guys ever looked at Psalms and wondered, how the heck can David be so broken in one verse and then change his tune in the next phrase and seem like he's the most faithful follower of God that ever lived? You know, it's always kind of bugged me for a while until I figured out something. I mean, if the psychologist or the counselor, you know, came out and you'd go, this guy, he's schizophrenic. You know, he's just, you know, all over the place. And it's like you're talking to two different people here. But I think that somehow something in his spirit changed. I think that he brought his brokenness before the Lord. And I think it didn't matter. I mean, he's like, God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you let my enemies overtake me? Why do you hate me? And then, God, I'm the reward of your eye. And the next phrase, and, you know, I feel your love. And thank you for being the most faithful person in my life. And so the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is poured out on him. He comes to God, he gives him his junk, he's totally honest, totally open with God, all but everything broken at the feet of Jesus, and then God comes and saves the day with something supernatural and changes the way he thinks, changes the way he feels about himself, changes everything in his life. You know, I talked to a gal this week that we had been teaching through our peer counseling ministry, the supernatural exchange, little tool that I just shared with you. And she said to me that, she goes, man, this is amazing. She said, my relationship with God has always been quite distant. I mean, I'm doing all this stuff to try to be okay with God, to try to experience his love. She goes, this week, for the first time, I get it. She said, I stood in front of a mirror and I was the ugliest I've ever been to God. Totally honest with him. Told him everything that I don't like about the way he made me. Why did you do this, God? Why did you do this? I don't like this. I hate this about myself. And, you know, just had it out with my father. And the amazing thing is he doesn't care. He's just glad you're there. And that you're finally being honest with yourself. And you're finally being honest with your father. And she said it went on for an hour, Brenda. All my junk right at his feet. And he was right there with me and he was listening to every bit of it. She said it went on for an hour. It was the ugliest I've ever been with God. And then I opened up my spirit to receive what he had for me. She said it was the most amazing thing. He just started to say how much that he loved the way he made my hair and how much he loved, you know, my genetic code and my genes and the way he made my, not my genes, but, you know, my the way he made me, you know, and how it's made my body turn out and my family traits. And she said, I believed him. And then he poured supernatural love in me and supernatural acceptance in me. And she said, I walked out the door and I felt free from self-condemnation and low self-image. She said, I actually believe what my Father in Heaven said to me that for the whole day. It changed everything in my perspective. And she said, I actually am having a real, tangible experience with the Spirit of God that has breathed life and excitement and meaning into my life for the first time. And she can't wait for more. See, enough of these supernatural spiritual encounters and you're going to start to love what God loves. You're going to start to love holiness. You're going to start to hate your sin, and you're going to start to think more like Christ and experience the mind of Christ. And that's when you start to want to serve rather than to be served, like Jesus did. And being surrendered to God gives him the rule and the reign in your life, and then he can come and he can spend you however he wants to spend you in a day or a week. And it's not because you have to serve him at that point. It's more because you want to respond to the love and the grace that you start to experience on a day-to-day basis through these supernatural exchanges. And it's a real tangible change of heart and a feeling. And, you know, it's been said that if the Apostle Paul of the New Testament was preaching a message on radical discipleship and, you know, following Jesus with every part of your being, and if he was preaching on the lordship of Jesus Christ, then our need to surrender everything to Christ, Paul would spend 75% of his time talking about God's mercy and his love. And then 25% of his time would be what your proper response is to that mercy and that love. Because it's easy to respond once you've experienced God's love. So why should we receive spiritual gifts? Because God isn't asking you to serve or receive spiritual gifts from some kind of internal notion that you're going to earn God's favor, or if you serve or if you give, or even that you're going to lose God's favor for that matter if you don't serve or give. We serve God as a response to him because we've experienced his love for us. And in view of all of his mercies and everything that he's done for us, and the fact that he bought our lives with the high price of the blood of the Lamb on the cross, through Jesus Christ dying for us, it actually is a joyful response to him loving me first, for me to serve him, or for you to serve him. But the problem is, a lot of us haven't experienced God's love in that real tangible way. And so we're sitting here wondering, what am I supposed to do? And why would I even want to do it? But God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We experience his love by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we think it's so important to talk to you about how to receive the Spirit of God. Because once you've experienced that love, it changes you. And it undoes stuff in you. And I'll tell you how I know that I'm loved. and why I don't have a low self-image, and I feel quite secure in my relationship with the Lord on a day-to-day basis, and it doesn't rock my boat when somebody thinks something about me or doesn't like me. I know that I'm loved because I feel loved. It's a real tangible feeling deep down in my heart because of experiencing the Holy Spirit's love of God being poured into my heart. And so my need for acceptance is met, and then insecurity is gone. And so it's actually, you know, people say, is this a tangible thing? Are you talking about, like, yeah, I am. It's very tangible. Like, you walk in one way and you walk out changed from the presence of God. And when we learn how to receive and we're getting our love and our acceptance from His Spirit, it goes right to our spirit. And it bypasses our theology and, you know, the thoughts that we know God loves us, and it goes more to our spirit. It's much more practical and tangible than you might realize. And it does meet my need for love and acceptance. So let me talk about receiving for just a minute here, because you know what? Receiving is just plain hard for us. Receiving is hard for us. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Receiving is hard for us because it means we have to acknowledge our need. And that is hard for us. It is hard for us to ask for help. I mean, you know, think about it. Do a little dipstick test, and how long has it been since you actually asked someone else for help, let alone God? And it's just hard for us to not be independent, to not be self-sufficient. It's actually countercultural for us to actually come and acknowledge our need for God, because everything in us says, no, don't do that. Be self-sufficient. Be independent. And, you know, pride comes and pride takes over, and sometimes that's all that's between us and God, is just that pride. And we have to lay that down and make an exchange and say, God, here I am at your feet, filled with pride, filled with independence, filled with self-sufficiency. Take this from me and put humility in me that will just plain be able to acknowledge my need for help. And we have to lay that down. We have to let down our defenses. Some of us are, you know, we have been so hurt and so wounded, we have no intention of letting anybody get closer than an arm's length away, because we're, by golly, going to keep ourselves from getting hurt again. And we're doing a really good job. We've got elephant skin that's 5 feet thick, and, you know, we've got the 10-foot pole and all that stuff going on, but we're keeping out all the bad stuff, but we're also keeping out the good stuff. And we're not receiving what God has for us by His Spirit, because we're just so good at protecting ourselves, and we have to let that cocoon come down, and we have to let God come close and trust Him, and trust Him. Let's talk about the fact that our spiritual gifts are supernatural ways that you and I can experience the Spirit flowing through us to others. The wonderful thing about supernatural gifts or spiritual gifts are that they're not of this world. And I'm talking about that in just a second here. But they're also not just your personality or identity. They're not your personality or your identity. Now, a lot of you know, people are really depressed. They're anxious. They're racked with sickness, loss, addiction. And you and I just don't have what they need without God's spiritual gifts. People need more than a pat on the back. They need a supernatural healing or a supernatural relief. They need more than just a caring heart. They need something real and supernatural. And we just don't have it outside of ourselves without God's supernatural gifts flowing through us. They're not from the way that you're raised. You know, I talk to people all the time who think, you know what, I have a lot of faith because I was raised in a great Christian home, and my mom was a Christian, and my dad was a Christian, and they never got divorced, and we had a family devotions every day with overheads, and we used James Dobson stuff. I mean, it couldn't have gotten any better, and I'm a good, strong Christian with a lot of faith because of that. When, in fact, they have a spiritual gift of faith. And they believe that God's going to move mountains because of supernatural faith. But it has nothing to do with the way that you're raised. And so, you know, if you have gifts of wisdom and discernment, you're not all that smart. You have a supernatural gift from God that allows you to see things the way God does and have his heart on the matter and be able to talk to someone and extend that. And you can walk away from those conversations and say, wow, God, I never would have been able to share that without your supernatural gift of wisdom. And so there's a lot of things we're functioning in. We just don't realize that they're not from our personality or they're not our identity. They're not from the way that we're raised and that they're not from this world. There was a woman in her late 30s that suffered from lifetime depression. And I prayed with her to receive supernatural peace not too long ago. I explained to her, she came up on a Saturday night, and I had the opportunity to pray for her, and I explained to her that God, in fact, had something that was outside of this world and that it was very supernatural, and he wanted to give it to her. And I taught her how to make a supernatural exchange just in a few minutes. And we prayed together, and a few days later, I received this note from her, and this is what it said. You prayed with me Saturday night in regards to the depression I'm struggling with. It has been a battle on and off since I was 13. Even knowing that Jesus Christ is the answer to everything, I stood at the altar feeling little, if any, hope. Since Saturday, I've experienced periods of relief for the first time. Thank you for praying for me and teaching me a new way to receive the Holy Spirit and exchange my depression for God's supernatural peace. See, God released healing through me as I brought her to the feet of Jesus. Then he supernaturally did something as I took that risk and prayed for her that I couldn't do. It wasn't me. I can't take away someone's lifelong depression by praying for them. And in fact, I don't think I was even having that great of a day. So you know it's got to be God when you're having a bad day and somebody gets healed. And, you know, without God's Holy Spirit, these gifts, they won't be there because they come by his Spirit. The most amazing thing about these gifts and experiencing and receiving them and extending them is that when we receive them and then do that, we see incredible good fruit from them in God's kingdom. His kingdom comes right before our eyes when we do that. And we don't get tired or burned out. And it's fun. I have people that, you know, we bless the gifts of deliverance and train them and how to cast out demons, and they get to go cast out demons from their friends, and they come back and say, let's go cast out some more demons. Bring them on. Come on, bring it. Because they're just like having a blast in God's kingdom, doing something supernatural. It's like amazing to watch someone go from death to life right in front of your eyes. Who wouldn't want to do that? You know, it's a kick in the pants. And you don't get tired. You don't get burnt out. You don't feel emotionally drained because it's not you. It's something flowing through you. And you can lay your head on your pillow at night and say, that was a good day. That was a good day. And you can get up in the morning and do it again. So let Jesus get your focus off yourself and onto other people. See, you don't exercise gifts so that you can prove something to Michael or myself or any of the rest of the staff or God. You receive God's spiritual gifts for your own sake. You serve because it's a blessing to get to discover and use your gifts. And you know what? It feels really nice to contribute and to make a difference in somebody's life and to see somebody's life so transformed because you were willing to take a risk and step out on the limb and then watch God come and back you up with power and authority through a spiritual gift. You serve because you've been waiting for your life to have some meaning and some purpose. You receive God's spiritual gifts for other people's sake, too. You do it because you need the opportunity to participate with other people and develop relationships and with other people you're serving with. You watch people who serve in the Fruit of the Vine food shelf at the Vineyard on Saturday mornings. Every week for years, from 9:30 to 11:30, people come from the community to get food. And we serve, you know, hundreds of families a week. And you watch these people serving, and they're having great relationship. They're praying for each other and helping each other through life and, you know, going out for coffee. And they have wonderful friendships around serving together. And they're getting affirmed, and they're affirming the people that they give to. Receive God's spiritual gifts for God's sake. You know what? It's God's way of leaving Jesus here on earth. He didn't leave Jesus. He called Jesus to his right hand at heaven. And he left us on earth with the Holy Spirit. And we're to be little Jesuses running around doing what Jesus did and letting people experience a touch from God. And you serve because one of the tensions of the kingdom of God and the Christian life is that the more you give away, the more you have. We don't get this, really, until we do it in the spirit realm. But whatever you hold on to with a tight fist, you're going to end up with less of. You know, you try to, whoever tries to gain their life loses it. And the more you open your hand and you receive freely what God wants to give you, and the more that you give it away, the more you get. And the more you have to give away. And the more you experience his love for you, then the more you respond by giving him your mind and your body. And the service flows out of that place. So I'd ask you to take a look at your life. You know, what's going on? How would you describe it? Are you stressed out? Are you contented? Are you excited? Are you moving forward? Are you holding back? Are you afraid? Because, you know, we're thinking all the time about, you know, the things that we want to do someday. We're dreaming of where we want to go, and we're trying to get over the regrets of where we've been and what we've done. But God has something incredible for you. And it's what he created you for. So how are you doing? How are you discovering it? How are you made for his kingdom and his purposes? Because really, that is what is going to bring you and I the most satisfaction. And nothing else is going to make us happy. Why don't you guys stand up with me if you would, and we'll pray. One of the cool things about just each week when we get together, we just like to let God have some time to do what he wants to do in your life. We don't think it's okay to just talk about it and not let God come and do what he wants to do. And so this is called ministry time. And we just take some time at the end here where you get to voluntarily sort of step out and, you know, touch the hem of the garment of Jesus and say, I do want to acknowledge my need for more of your spirit. And in fact, I'm trying to help people and it's not working so good. Because I don't have the power tools. I don't have the power of God flowing through me. I've never seen a sick person healed. I've never seen supernatural things, God. And so we want to invite you to actually receive something supernatural so that supernatural things can come out of you. And maybe you want to make a supernatural exchange. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you got too much gunk going on and you need to get rid of some of that so God can put something really profoundly supernatural in you. And so we want to give you an opportunity for that. And so I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask as the worship team plays that you would just come on up and let us just bless what God's doing in your life. So let's just bow our heads. Father, some of us have never received something supernatural, and we've been afraid, and we just admit that. We acknowledge that. And God, we ask that today you would take some of that fear. Take that fear away, Lord, so that we can begin to experience your presence. God, would you take off the elephant skin or the cocoon that we have? Or just the control issues, God, of really letting you come and do what you want. Because we want to be in control. We just surrender right now and just lay that down. Father, some of us have despised the gifts in general or just even specific gifts that you've put in us. We can kind of see a hint of it and we're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to go there. And I just confess, I've done that myself, Lord, and I just pray that we would trust you and we'd let you come and do what you want to do and give you our fear of being known as a crazy Jesus freak kind of person, Lord, and that we would just trust you that you have good and perfect gifts for us, Lord. If we can pray for you in any way, we'd love to do that before you leave this morning. So I'm going to have the team play. And just feel free to come up, and our ministry team is trained to pray in a way that's going to bless what God's doing. It's not going to get goofy. You don't have to worry about that. And I'm sure you'll feel God's love and acceptance as you do come and let His Spirit touch you this morning. Thanks for being here.